You're listening to the Credit Union Leadership Podcast, a podcast that delivers value and offers up insight that'll help your credit union grow. ServiceStar has been consulting with credit unions for over 20 years, growing them in the areas of cultural development, leadership development, and management training. To learn more about what ServiceStar can do for you or your credit union, check them out at servicestarconsulting.com.
All right, guys, we've got a great episode on the Credit Union Leadership Podcast today. Today, we're going to be talking about how do you know what your dream job is? How do you find purpose in your work? Some of you listening, you may love the idea of the credit union. You may love the idea of improving the financial well-being of our members, but you're just feeling drained at work. And why is that? Well, I've got something exciting. Today, we've got Ken Coleman from Ramsey Solutions in. And let me tell you a little bit about Ken Coleman so you understand why this is such a big deal. Ken Coleman is America's career coach. He's a two-time best-selling author, including a number one national best-selling author of The Proximity Principle, which is the proven strategy that will lead to the career you love. And he's actually a nationally syndicated radio host of The Ken Coleman Show. So we're going to bring him on. We're going to ask him some questions about finding work that you love. And then for some of you who may be in the middle or may have reached the job that you love at your credit union, we talk about what's next for you. So buckle up. This is going to be a pretty exciting episode.
Listen to the Credit Union Leadership Podcast, and we're super excited today. We got Ken Coleman on the podcast. Ken, thanks for joining the Credit Union Leadership Podcast.
Happy to be talking with leaders and to leaders. It's so fun.
I really wanted to dive in first with maybe some problems you've noticed, Ken, and then we'll kind of see how this story affected my life and how it could affect the credit union as well. But we know that 70% of Americans are unhappy with their jobs, and 60% of people are even thinking about leaving. So why we brought you on was thinking about this with the credit union movement specifically. We have listeners. The mission of the credit union is we want to improve the financial well-being of every member. I think there's a lot of complementary goods between what you and your team teach and what we teach here at ServiceStar and our leadership podcast in the credit union movement. And I think there's a lot of people that work here that they love the mission of we're crusaders. We're impacting the financial lives of our members, but maybe they're in a position where they're just feeling drained and they're feeling exhausted. So I wanted you to give us some advice. What should these listeners do that they believe in the mission of what they're doing, but maybe they're working as a teller, or maybe they're working in collections. They're working in a department and right now they're just feeling drained. Why could that be? And what would be the next steps for them?
Well, if you're feeling drained, one simple factor could be that you are overworked right now and you're just, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm doing something I love or not, if it's too much of it and I can barely keep my nose above water from a workload standpoint, then that's I'm going to lose some joy there because I've gone from thriving to surviving. So we want to start there. If it's not an overwork situation, then it's the type of work that you're dealing with. And so if we look at what I was just talking about, if I'm not doing work that I am really good at doing, that I actually enjoy the task or the role itself, and it's not creating any result that I get fired up about, then my heart becomes disengaged. And the longer my heart disengages, then my mind starts to take over, because the mind starts going, why are we not fired up? What's going on? I'm bored. There's no excitement here. And that's not how our body is designed to work. It is to work in an engaged state. So we look at what's off. Are you spending the majority of your day? And we could just, for a rule of thumb, we could say 3/4 of your day. Are you spending 3/4 of your day working in your greatest area of talent? Are you spending 3/4 of your day doing work that you really actually enjoy? You know, so I'll just personalize this. If I'm in meetings all day, and thank God I'm not, but if I were going to be in meetings all day, I would be drained.
Yeah.
Now, asterisk, because this is a soapbox for me, which I won't spend any time on, but when I speak to leaders and you know, if I ever speak for you guys or whatever, I mean, one of the things I'm really challenging leaders on is less meetings, less email. because leaders have the ability to change the communication structure in an organization. And I'm telling you, there's data out there that email is a huge cause of stress for workers, and meetings actually is a huge cause of physical challenges due to the fact that our brain is so overloaded. We go from meeting to meeting to meeting. You ought to watch what happens to your brain. In fact, if you could find it on my Instagram page, I actually posted this from a neurologist, but your brain turns into massive stress going from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting with no time to decompress, no break, no ability to process what you've just learned. So quick soapbox. I'm telling you that if I were in meetings, like a lot of you people are, I would be despondent, burned out. I'd be like despondent. Because I need to be creating and I need to be communicating. And so that's an example of what I do best and what I enjoy doing: coaching, creating content, strategizing, thinking. I don't need to be in meetings all day long, listening to everybody else talk about what we should do. It drives me bananas. I'm also not an operations or detail guy. So results that I care about are transformation.
Yeah.
And so if I'm not doing work most of my day that leads to transformation, I'm not going to be motivated. Mm-hmm. So that's talent, passion, mission, which is the elements of the assessment. But that's what we're going to look at, because if that person you're describing, if they're feeling that, it's one of those three issues, if not all three. Guaranteed. Yeah. There is no other bucket that you need to look to. You just go right back to, okay, if I'm feeling this way, I just need to look at how much of my day am I using what I do best.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how much of my day am I doing something that I get lost in? I get distracted because I lose track of time because I'm just so engaged in it. And how much of my day am I producing results that I actually get excited about? Now, listen, all results matter. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I remember being a kid, I never got excited about taking a shower, but you need to take a shower. So, you know, you need to have some meetings and you need to do some reports, and I have to fill out a weekly report. There's things I got to do that I don't want to do, but that needs to be a small portion of my day. And so the answer to your question is going to be always in those three areas.
You said the three fourths of figuring out what engages your heart. What do you love doing? And actually, this is what Albrecht was alluding to, and I want our listeners to hear, because I think this would be really powerful for them. So I kind of went through a situation where I realized that. And the funny story was, this time last year, I was at a Christmas party and we did like a Christmas cookie exchange. And I made like these like homemade tagalongs that I loved. And right now you're like, what does this have to do with networking and getting to know people in the credit union? Well, one of my best friends works where you work at Rams, and he brought the cookies in, and y'all tried them out on air and you ate it. I remember my wife was listening to the show while I was working at my previous job. And she's like, oh, you won't believe this. And I was like, you ate my cookie and you loved it. And I joked around.
I did?
Yeah, you ate it. And you tried it out and said it was awesome. And
I ate the cookie live on the air?
Live on the air with Jade Warshaw. Yeah.
Okay. And I love to eat on the air, by the way. That's kind of my thing.
a little chef's kitchen going on.
Yeah.
Or, bakehouse. So, you know, my wife and I had this joke of, oh, maybe I should quit my job and pursue baking. And then I was like, well, that's not really what I want to do. But it got me thinking, the job I'm working currently back then was not as life-giving as it used to be. And I started thinking, why is that? And I had read your book, Proximity Principle, and you had, and I read Paycheck to Purpose. And I took your Get Clear assessment after that moment. And I was like, I know I don't want to leave a job. I want to go to a job, something with purpose, something that I'm inspired by. So I took that Get Clear assessment where I learned my talents, passions, and my purpose. And it was actually made me realize this is what I loved about my current job, but things had changed where I was the three-fourths rule that you just talked about, of me doing things that I was engaged with. I was not. I was doing more operations where my talents were instruction, compassion, and communication. And I wanted to achieve this mission of influence. And what I loved was, I love teaching leaders. Leaders Built Here was something that a motto that I have. And I want to help people fight for dreams. And I realized, unfortunately, I wasn't doing that in my job anymore. So I was thinking, what can I do to help people fight for dreams? How can I use my
skills of instruction and compassion. And that's where I came across with the credit union world, because I want to help people fight for dreams by winning with money and being in a good financial position. And you and your Get Clear assessment really helped out with that. And I want our listeners to hear this. If there's something you're feeling burnt out where you're working, and maybe it is overwork, but maybe it's the type of work that you're doing. Maybe you love the mission of what you're doing, but you're not being utilized where you're best, that you were made for. And I really, really wanted to speak into that, because I think that is such a big deal. And I had another question kind of going off this idea of maybe we feel drained with what we're currently doing. And you talked about these three things that could be. You had released something talking about, like, man, if I am getting the case of the Mondays and I'm dreading going to work, what are some things that I need to think or ask myself to either make the most of the job that I have right now, and how I could use this as an opportunity to move the movement forward?
Yeah, I love this question, because there are seasons of life where we're all on one rung of the ladder. Getting to the next rung is the hope, and the next rung and the next rung. So it's the old, you know, I got to do this now. I got to win the now so that I can get the next. And so the thing that comes to mind when you ask that question is in those seasons where we've got to win the now, and it's not the ultimate now, but it's the now we have to win in order for the next. A way to make the most of that season is ask yourself these three questions. What's the one thing I need to learn this week? What's the one thing I need to do or accomplish this week? And who is one person that I need to connect with this week? And the reason I'm giving you those three questions is those things may be related to the current job. And certainly those are priorities, those first two questions specifically. So like, okay, what do I need to learn that will help me win the now so that I get the chance for the next? What's the one thing I need to do? And this is all prioritization. So the main thing is what this is. And this is a great exercise every Sunday night. Some people, you could do it on Friday night before you take off for the weekend and you hit the ground running Monday. But that third question is vital, because it is forcing you to be intentional to make sure that you're connecting with somebody that is going to pour something valuable into you. You know, whether it be insight, which is knowledge, it might be some wisdom, just on an opinion on something that you need. But I'm learning, I'm connecting, I'm doing. And so I put that out of order. It's learning, doing, connecting. I don't care what order you do it in. But if you prioritize those three questions, let me tell you something. Even in a season where you're paying your dues.
Yeah.
Those three questions, if you answer them and act on them, you will be growing. Even if you don't see growth in the day-to-day in that position where you're slogging it out and paying your dues, I can promise you, I'll give you an example then, just to kind of drive this home. Let's say I'm in a role where I'm certainly on the ladder and I got to pay my dues. It's going to take some time, and I'm 2 or 3 months into it. I know I got to pay my dues, but man, I just, you know, I want that promotion. I want that thing that may be 2 years off, but I'm only 2 months in.
Yeah.
So at that point, I got to go, okay, where do I need to be growing? If I'm working harder on myself than I am my job, good things are going to happen. And so where do I need to be growing? So one thing I need to learn, you know, one thing I need to learn this week, I'm dealing with some stuff with my kid, and you know, I need to learn about this behavior issue. So I'm going to go read a book or listen to a podcast, a parenting podcast on this issue. I'm making this personal. It could be professional. Yeah. I mean, I'm just picking something. If that's the fire going on in your life, trust me, if there's a fire at home, you're dragging that to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is about personal growth. Those three questions are about what's the most important thing I need to learn this week? What's the most important thing I need to do this week? And who's the most important person I need to connect with this week? And that'll get you in a great rhythm of learning, doing, connecting.
Service Star Consulting announces the new employee bundle. Three classes for the price of one. Your employees are going to get three great classes. They're going to get Credit Union PhD, where we talk about the history of the credit union movement and how the people helping people movement got started. This is going to be the groundwork for our next two classes. Service Excellence, which is one of my favorite, talks about how to deliver that Chick-fil-A-like level service to our members where they know we care about them. And that's not all. We even give you a third class, which is Becoming a Sales Champion, where we're focused on sales the way it should be, helping people, and we talk about skills to present products to our members so they know that we care about them and their needs. This is the new employee bundle, 3 classes for the price of 1. Go in the show notes and click the link and look at these classes for yourself. Again, it's called the new employee bundle by Service Star Consulting.
Yeah, the who is so important, right? I mean, you could be the smartest guy in the room, but if there's nobody else in the room, what's the point?
That's a great point. Yeah. And when you're like me, when you're never the smartest person in the room, even when you're alone, you definitely want to make sure you're putting yourself in the right rooms.
So I got maybe a flip to that. So every position that I would say the last 4 roles that I've had are actually similar to the roles that you've had. Like, I think I've made it, right? Like when you're over like the national leaders, you probably like, this is a big role. And then you get that next opportunity. So let's say somebody is in a role where they think, hey, I probably quote unquote made it. What challenge would you give to that listener to say there might be another rung to this thing that you don't even see, but it's out there for you?
Well, I love that question. And I would liken it to a story that very few people know. I wrote about it in my last book, From Paycheck to Purpose. But his name escapes you all of a sudden. But the first person to scale Mount Everest, it's going to come to me in a second. He gets to the top of the mountain. He's with his climbing Sherpa partner, and when they get up there, they are looking at a view that no one has ever seen before. They're the first 2 people to ever stand on the top of Mount Everest. And Sir Edmund Hillary. I knew it was going to come to me. Sir Edmund Hillary. And so imagine he's standing up there and no one's accomplished this before. And so as history tells it, they take some pictures together and they put some mementos that they leave up there. And the Sherpa said many months later in an interview that as they were standing up there, Hillary's eyes began to, of course, do what any of us would do, is begin to scan this view. And he sees another mountain range over there, and he looks at his Sherpa partner, and he says, that's the next range. So the answer to your question is, when we have made it, that we've made it to this current spot. And so now the view has changed. And so this idea of making it, the view is we're looking up, we're struggling, and all of the challenges to get there. And we've been looking up the whole time. But then when we make it, guess what happens? The view changes. We look out. And so when we make it, we're not done learning. We're not done growing. It's just a completely different perspective. And we begin to look out and we go, okay, now how can I multiply what I have accomplished? And the great men and women of our world, they're always learning. I had the pleasure of interviewing a Division I basketball coach from a small college, small university, D1, but small, years ago. And in the course of the interview, he told me a story that just really crystallizes this example. And that was that Coach K called him one day. They had played Duke in the first round. Duke beat him, but they gave Duke a hard time. And it was close. And in the off season, his phone rings one day and his assistant says, Coach K is on the line, and he doesn't believe her. He thinks it's one of his buddies posing as Coach K. And he picks up the phone very cynically. And as fate would have it, it was in fact Coach K. And here's this legend on the line and complimenting his offense. He said, you guys gave us a hard time. We had struggled with it. And I want to learn about that offense. If I come, can you give me some dates when I can come see you? I'd like to spend a little bit of time with you and you teach me the ins and outs of that offense. And we're talking about one of the greatest of all time, who's already in the Hall of Fame. And he's calling a coach half his age saying, can I come learn from you? That's what we all have to continuously keep our eye on, is expanding our horizons by expanding our growth, expanding our challenges.
Man, that's such an inspirational story. And man, the opportunity that you've gotten to learn from so many impactful guests on the show, and now you got your own show, and now you're a guest on our podcast. So this is my Coach K moment. So thanks for being my Coach K.
You bet.
So I'm thinking with our podcast, we've got C-suite level members and we've got high-end leaders and learning development specialists listening, but we've also got people just now starting their careers in the credit union movement, people that are probably member-facing, like working a teller station at a branch or being a member service consultant, and they are excited about the mission and want to move up and want to develop. So tell us about how you created the proximity principle. And then for these people that are listening that are unaware of it, who are the people that they need to be meeting to help them grow?
Well, I developed the proximity principle because I think I spent a lot of time with John Maxwell, who one of the great leadership gurus. I assume you guys know who John is. And I worked for John for years. And so John had this unbelievable ability to take an idea and put a hook on it. And, you know, all of his laws and, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know. And so one day I was driving to the office and I was, the first thing on my schedule was going to be a podcast interview like this, where someone was going to be interviewing me. And, the guy had submitted his questions ahead of time, which I'm not a big fan of. I don't ever want to prepare to talk about what I care deeply about. If I can't come up with something out of my head and heart, then I shouldn't be on a podcast. But anyway, I was looking at it. And the last question that he had submitted was something to the effect of, if you were going to boil down your journey to where you are now, what's one thing that you did really, really well? And I was kind of had a bad attitude about it, like, bro, I can't just pick one thing. And the light turns green. I begin to accelerate and I start to think. And I go, okay, if I'm just going to pick one thing, what would I pick? And I'm sitting there and it just came to me. And I looked back on my journey in an instant. And I was like, I was really good about getting around the right people and getting in the right places. Because it was just to start into broadcasting when you're early 30s. I mean, my publicist is sitting right here off camera. Kurt, he's a radio veteran. The media world's hard to get into. Number one, there's not as many jobs. And number two, it is a who you know business more than just about any other business that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. And so it was a hard journey and took me 7 years. And 7 years of just hustling. So I looked back really quick and I went, I was around the right people and I was in the right places. And I kept doing that. And eventually, boom, something pops, you know, like being in the right place where I get to interview Dave Ramsey multiple times, one time in front of 12,000 leaders. And this guy's watching me. What kind of chops does he have in that? Yeah. Leads to years later, him calling me going, I want you to join my team. And so the proximity principle came out of that car ride. So now I'm like, okay, that's pretty good. That's what I'm going to tell this guy. I just put myself around the right people and I put myself in the right places and I did it a lot. And then opportunity came to me. So I'm like, well, that's pretty good. Well, then I get to another stoplight and the John Maxwell factor takes over. You know, I'm a pastor's kid. He's a pastor. Everything's a principle with him and all this kind of stuff. And so I'm sitting at the light. And all of a sudden, I was like, it's about proximity. The one word, if I'm going to go one thing, I go, get in proximity to the right people in the right places. And then it hits me. And I grab my phone and I hit the voice memo and I go, the proximity principle says, in order to do what you want to do, you've got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. Beep. And I run into the office. I take it to my leader at the time. I said, I want to play this for you. Does this make any sense? And I played. He goes, dude, that's good. And I began to talk about it on the air and begin to illustrate it. And so that's how it happened. I did want to tell the story. But the proximity principle is just that. In order to do what I want to do, I don't care what it is. If I want to be a leader in the credit union world, I need to be spending time around leaders that are in the credit union world. I need to be going to every conference and every online forum and what those are the places. I know the people and I know the places. So if I were to break the principle down, I should be doing this, Kurt, by the way, in my Maxwell voice. Yes. Hey, the proximity principle says in order to do. No, so hey,
that's pretty good.
Maxwell. All right. So here's the formula. The principle is broken down into a simple formula. The right people plus the right places equals opportunity. You show me a person that's griping and complaining, I can't get an opportunity to get a leadership role in the credit union space. No one's looking at me, blah, blah, blah. They got the spirit of Eeyore. you show me that person, I'm going to show you a person who is not being intentional to consistently put themselves around the right people and in the right places. Because when I am in the right places, I get a chance to meet the right people. Mm-hmm. When I'm with the right people, I get an opportunity to show up in the right places. And it becomes a cycle. And then opportunity comes to you and knocks on your door. This idea of kicking down doors of opportunity is nothing more than bad motivational gibberish. It's not mm-hmm. true. The you know, you heard people say, oh, well, you know, he was in the right place at the right time. Like it was just luck. Sure, luck happens. But luck only happens to people that are in the right place. And luck only happens to people that are around the right people. That's when luck happens. So if I'm going to go to if I need to catch a train, I'm going to one place. Tell me, Scotts, where am I going if I need to catch a train?
Train station.
Train station. I don't even have to have a ticket. I just know if I go to the train station, guess what's going to show up?
A train.
I don't know what time it's going to show up, but I do know if I go right now, if I wait long enough and stay in the train station, a train is coming. So that's the idea. And we've made opportunity so mythically difficult mm-hmm. as opposed to it's all about intentionality. And so that's the proximity principle.
Yeah, man. So you hear this, listener. So if you're working as a teller and you have a heart to do marketing or do video work, go find these people that are doing marketing and video work at your credit union. They're probably not inside your branch, but use the connections you have to connect with them or connect with other people that are this marketing and video stuff that's outside of your credit union. And then people at your credit union will be like, oh, you're the video guy? We need your help doing some AV here. That is great, great stuff. So with someone starting off their journey in this proximity principle of I need to get in this train station so I'm going in the direction that I want to be in, who would be, one or two people that they should be intentional about surrounding themselves with, Ken?
Are you talking about the five archetypes in the book?
Yeah, let's do that.
Sure. Hey, this is what, when you actually write your own book, you can actually pull this stuff, folks. You know what I mean? By the way, little tip, if you're ever interviewing somebody about their book and they have to look at their book, they probably didn't write it. but that's just a little thing. Okay. So, you know, there's five people in the book. I'm not going to unpack all five.
Yeah.
I'll list the five, but I'll dive into a couple. One is the professional. The other is the professor. The professional is somebody that, like, for me, it was Larry King Live and watching Larry King do interviews and Bob Costas. I learned how to do interviews early on by watching those guys religiously. There was very little chance I was going to get to sit and have coffee with those guys, but I could watch that professional, somebody who's made it at a high level. I could watch them and learn from them. The professor is a guy by the name of Jeff, who I went to his broadcasting school. And he played the role of teaching me the ins and outs of broadcasting. And so I learned the craft. A producer is the third archetype. This is somebody who's winning in the space, but they're not as high up the mountain as that professional. So a guy named Bob Rathman, who is the play-by-play TV voice of the Atlanta Hawks and the Atlanta Braves. I could get to him. I couldn't get to Larry King.
Yeah.
And so I spent time with him. And so he was the producer. So as I look at those three relationships, just for me, the professional is the one that I'd lock in on for most people. Because I think what we do is we kind of think more about the people around us, but we don't think about how much YouTube, podcast, audiobooks, mm-hmm. like you can hang out with John Maxwell.
Yeah.
You actually can online. And if I was going to be a leader in the credit union space, that's what I'd be doing. I'd be hanging out with Pat Lencioni. I'd be hanging out with Marcus Buckingham. I'd be hanging out with Ken Coleman and Dave Ramsey on Entree Leadership Podcast. That's who I would be hanging out with. And we can. And by the way, you're not interrupting them. You know, it's just kind of like whenever I want to hang out with them, I can hang out with them. I think that's huge. One of the other archetypes in the book is the mentor, and it's the only one that wasn't a P. But the mentor is huge. I had three guys in my life that were older than me that I could call when I was discouraged. And I will tell you that I'm locking in on this one because this is the other one I think gets overlooked. I think we overlook the professional and I think we overlook the mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're afraid to ask people to say, hey, will you guide me? Will you hold me accountable? Will you challenge me? And yeah. So these guys I could call when I was really struggling in some of those wilderness years. And there were days where I called them in tears and they talked me off the quitting ledge. So I can't emphasize those two personas or archetypes enough, because I think those are the two that get overlooked, you know, the most. And I think that the fifth one is the peer. So in the book, you've got the professional. I explained the professional, you got the producer, you got the peer. Who are you hanging out with? You need to be hanging around friends that are naturally running a little faster than you, because you'll try to keep pace with them. Don't hang out with losers. Just don't, because they're going to hold you back. So if you look at the professional, the producer, the peer, the professor, and then of course the mentor, those are the five archetypes in the book. But I hope I gave you enough. I think if I were going to focus right away for somebody who wants to accelerate growth, I would focus a lot of time on that professional, because I have unlimited access and these people are setting the bar in that game. And then I would definitely get a mentor there to keep your soul healthy, because this is a tough journey.
Yeah. It's a journey. It's a journey to great impact. And it's one that, provides purpose, but it's also one that we were born into this world to do, right? Like, we weren't born into this world to be a mediocre version of ourselves, right? We were born into this world to be the fullest version of ourselves. And I think love is blind. And I also think we're blind to our own reality sometimes. Like, we need somebody to speak into our lives to give us the mirror, to reflect back, like, hey, you really are good at this. Yeah. So I'd love to have you close us out today with just some closing thoughts to the credit union leaders listening to today's podcast. If they're thinking about, like, who am I? What do I want to be when I grow up? What are some closing thoughts that we can share with those credit union leadership listeners?
Well, I'm going to give two thoughts because of this. The unique audience here is leadership. I assume these people want to lead. Is that a fair assumption?
That's a good assumption.
Yeah. So then the who am I? I'm going to attribute to, you're a leader. You're a leader and you want to be a leader. And so what you are is a very unique individual who desires to influence people. And you have to bring to your leadership role and leadership style your unique attributes. So we've been talking about the assessment, but you could also play into your personality, and knowing your personality is huge, but knowing what my leadership blind spots are. My leadership blind spots are areas where I am leading and doing work that I'm not good at. It's the opposite of talent. It suck. I may be leading in areas that are the opposite of passion. I don't enjoy it. It drains me. So that's suck too. Sucks the energy out of you. And then I might be folk in a role, in a leadership role, or doing things in my leadership role that is producing results that I'm ho-hum about.
Hmm.
So I need to be in my leadership sweet spot, not leading from my leadership blind spots. So knowing what you do best, then you should be delegating. You should be hiring for those things. And you should not be, as the leader, doing things that you are not good at, that you do not enjoy, that produce results that you are ho-hum about. So a leader has to play many roles, but the leader has the greatest control over making sure that they are operating at their best. And I'm going to tell you right now, leader, if you aren't spending the majority of your day using what you do best to do work you enjoy to produce results that matter to you, you are a frustrated leader. And that is leaking out. And your team, by the way, they know what you suck at. They know what you don't enjoy. and they know what you don't care about. So why don't you just get real with yourself? Because you're the last one to know. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. Your followers know. So if you're the only one walking around that doesn't know, this is a massive leadership flaw. So let's go ahead and own it, leaders. Let's be aware. So be aware of who you are. And you say, how do I know who I am when I grow? Look, just be aware of who you are and you're going to know what you want to do. And then can you make the changes? This is leadership gold. Whether you think it is or not, trust me, try it. And then you're going to thank me later. Number one, ask the question every week of the people that you lead. How are you doing? This is not breezing past them in the hallway. This is not a lazy greeting. How you doing? That's what we say to the guy who's a stranger at the gas station. At least I do. I'm from the South. We say hi to everybody. All right. Yeah. But that's a, how are you doing? I know enough about what's going on in their life to know, hey, I know your son blew his knee out. How's he recover? How's his recovery going? All right. This is a genuine interest in their personal lives. How are you doing? So that you have the ability to see if what's going on in their personal life is affecting them in their professional life. And now that's your responsibility to serve them. How are you doing? Now, that question asked often enough will begin to yield answers. Sometimes they don't give you much. But your job, it's like parenting a teen. How's your day? Good. That's all I get. But I keep asking. Because one day when something wasn't good, then I hear about it. So as a leader, you got to keep asking. Now, here's what that does. That question begins to develop trust. When they begin to see that you consistently care about them, then they begin to trust you. And when they begin to trust you, they will then give you an honest answer. So much of the leadership failure and organizational health, whether it's good or bad, comes down to leaders being intentional enough to ask and act on those two questions.
This is the Credit Union Leadership Podcast with our special guest. We got Ken Coleman on. Thanks again for your time today, Ken. I really appreciate it.
I enjoyed it, guys. Thanks so much for having me.